Welcome to Vision is More Than 2020, a podcast aimed at talking about your vision, your eyes, and how they play a role in overall visual and systemic function. Dr. Zelnicki and Lekowsky, with the help of various guests, will work to help you understand more about your visual system and all the pieces to the vision puzzle.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's episode of Vision is More Than 2020. We hope you're having a wonderful week. We just wanted to have our weekly insight be a belated Happy Father's Day message to all of those dads out there that really keep the household together, playing with the kids and being the support that we all need. Fathers play an incredibly important role in children's lives, and it's wonderful to celebrate them on Father's Day, but I know that I personally celebrate my husband every day because I don't know what I would do without him helping me raising these beautiful children that we have. How was your Father's Day, Dr. L?
It was wonderful, very low-key, just celebrated, you know, Paul, and we spent a little time with his dad too. He lives locally, which was really nice. And, you know, I agree with your exact sentiment. I'm so grateful for Paul every day. He's such a wonderful father, and especially being towards the end of this pregnancy, even more so. He's helping with all the things, all the cleaning, the getting down on the floor and playing with Teddy. You know, Teddy kind of knows now, like, oh, mommy can't do that. And so beeline's right for Paul to do all the fun things with him, especially towards the end of the day when I have less energy.
Listen, I always say, like, when John gets home at the end of the day, the kids cannot be more excited because he is like the fun. And I just am so appreciative that he works so hard on the farm all day and then switches hat as soon as he gets home and puts the dad hat on. And it's just a really special thing to watch them flourish as fathers. And we appreciate all of the fathers and father figures out there that really step up to be present in all of our kids' lives.
So we hope everyone had a wonderful Father's Day. For today's episode, we are going to be talking about a very cool specialty called orthokeratology. And to do so, we are being joined by Dr. Jeff Klosterman. He received his undergraduate degree and doctorate from The Ohio State University. He founded a private practice in rural Kentucky in 2006 with a slant towards contact lens specialty. Then in 2015, he founded a separate sports vision training consulting business outside of his practice called Mind. At the end of 2017, he sold his practice to focus on sports vision and orthokeratology full time. He since joined the biotechnology company Synaptic as their international and national director of sales and sports performance. He has founded Virtuous, a concierge service for all things from agent discussions to branding and marketing for professional athletes. He lives with his wife, Leslie, and their two children on a small horse farm in rural Kentucky. He also coaches a local high school boys basketball team. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Klosterman. We are so excited to have you join us again. And for anyone who hasn't heard your previous episodes, just give us again a little background on yourself and kind of your journey in optometry and your role in optometry currently.
Great. Thanks for having me back. You know, you guys are my favorite podcast to be on. So I started in traditional optometry, had a practice that I formed down here in outside of Lexington, Kentucky in 2006. In 2012, I always had an interest in contact lenses and actually getting patients out of glasses. You know, just from a personal standpoint, I see perfectly without vision correction. And so I understand what that's like. And so for patients that were interested in LASIK, interested in getting out of glasses, that was always a priority for me, where I think a lot of eye doctors traditionally, sadly, like to prescribe glasses and sell things out of their opticals, you know. So I kind of went the opposite. And I was like, let's figure out a way that I can make my practice different. And so I always had an interest in ortho-K, which is kind of the short for orthokeratology. I tell people it's like an orthodontist that are straightening teeth and orthopedic that are straightening bones. You know, orthokeratologists, we are straightening corneas. I was exposed to that when it got FDA approval when I was in optometry school at Ohio State. We tried it on my wife and it didn't work because none of us knew what we were doing. And I kind of tabled it for a few years. And around 2012, you know, 7 years after school, I was like, you know what, this is the right time. I've got a partner in the business. I can devote some time to this. And I wanted to add that kind of option into my toolbox of orthokeratology. And then now that launched into also starting a sports vision business and training business. And so I split my time between all those.
Wonderful. And I love that you circled back to orthokeratology because, like you said, it was FDA approved, I think, in what, 1999, right? When was it? 2001, right around there. So it had been around for a while, but it really, I feel like in just recent years, has it really gained much more traction? So tell us, what actually is orthokeratology? Like, what is this hard contact lens doing to the cornea?
Sure. So we just had a clinic day yesterday, had that exact question from a mom on a consultation for her 9-year-old son. And I told her, you know, a lot of times I'm a man of analogies. And so the analogy I used with her yesterday, I said, it's similar to like an Invisalign braces. And she said, oh, he already does Invisalign braces. This is a perfect segue, you know? So an orthokeratology lens is, what we call a rigid gas permeable lens, but it's classified as a hard contact. It's smaller, easier to handle, easier to put in and remove from small eyes and children's eyes. It's not as uncomfortable as people think, or maybe experienced with gas permeable contacts in the 70s and 80s. It's much different. And so I told her this little lens just goes on his eye at night. And through some really high tech and cool pressure dynamics that are created across the back of that lens, interacting with the tear film and the front surface of the cornea, you get a compression effect of the cells in a circular pattern on the front of the cornea. And you get this basically a shifting of fluid from the central cells out to the peripheral cells. And by doing that, we're changing the thickness, the overall thickness of the cornea, which changes prescription. So they take the lens out in the morning and they've got this nice, beautiful vision that they can see, much like somebody that has had LASIK. And then the effect obviously would wear off at a certain point. So we wear these little retainers each night.
Wonderful. I love that explanation. And then for anyone who's listening that's interested in this technology or maybe wants to try it themselves, how do they know if they're a good candidate for this? What are you looking for when you're, you know, fitting patients with these lenses? And what types of patients are you leading conversations with to maybe discuss these lenses with them?
Sure. So orthokeratology, first and foremost, and it's changed over time, but now it's always been the best option for people that are nearsighted, you know, so people that have trouble seeing far away. There's some, you know, orthokeratologists out there that are dabbling in and treating hyperopic patients, farsighted patients, things like, personally, I've got a very kind of laser focused patient that I like. So what I'm looking for is low amounts of nearsightedness. So, you know, if you're looking at the end of your contact lens box, it's that number that starts with a -1.00 or a -4.00. And it kind of depends on the age and the male or female. There's lots of different factors that go into that ideal candidate. But there's an advantage to starting on the lower numbers, you know? So if we start with somebody that's at a -1 or a -2 on that prescription scale, there's a big plus to it. You know, you can have a prescription that's too high, that we just can't get enough compression factor from the lenses to get good, stable, clear vision all day long. You know, so when I'm looking for kids, I'm trying to get them young and early on the nearsighted scale. If I'm looking for treating adults, I think the oldest patient I have that does ortho-K is 64, you know, so it's not really an age factor, but I'm treating lower prescriptions on older patients because your cornea actually stiffens with age. You know, it's a collagen-based tissue. So as we get exposed to UV and everything else through life, you know, my prescription ranges that I treat tend to go down as patients go up in birthdays.
I think that you have a unique practice in the sense that you are treating kids, right? But you also have this performance enhancement piece for athletes. Dr. L and I did an episode last week talking all about myopia and nearsightedness and prevention of progression of nearsightedness. And we know that ortho-K is one of those techniques that we can use for that. So can you talk a little bit about the myopia control piece? And then also, how does it help with your athletes from a performance enhancement standpoint? Because they're two very different applications of the same technology.
Yes, absolutely. So in the myopia control part, you know, it's, we have patients, we have friends that are, you know, oh, I'm blind without my glasses. You know, they're in these -6, -7s. And if you talk to enough people, and of course we talked to a lot of patients, you have patients that have had retinal detachments and retinal detachment repair surgery. And it's not fun. It's not always successful. And the vision never, in most cases, returns to a good, sharp, like quality vision. So, so with myopia control, it's intense. The kids that we're seeing that are nearsighted tend to have nearsighted parents. And I'm sure you guys covered that last week, but the conversation always leads into, if we can, if we could harness that, you know, that visual deficit that you have now, or, you know, somebody that had those types of surgeries, and we have the opportunity when these kids are 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11 years old, and they're first getting into, you know, they have an eye exam, they're having trouble seeing far away. You know, a lot of doctors are just putting them in their first pair of glasses. That's like the worst thing we can do at that point. You know, we should be having that conversation of ortho-K is the first and best solution. It's going to help, you know, through the design of the lens. It kind of creates this little cutoff point in the brain to slow down elongation of the eye. And you get this awesome benefit of seeing all day without glasses or contacts, you know, so that's like, and what I learned when I was first starting with ortho-K 10 years ago, I mean, I can't believe I've been doing it that long now, is all the myopia conversations. Some patients really got that and they really understood it. And it's the same with vision therapy. But then as soon as you put it into, and they get better at baseball, then they're like, oh, sign me up for vision therapy, you know, or, oh, sign me up for ortho-K. So not only do we get the myopia control factor, which is massive, you know, if you, every diopter of myopia that we can hold beyond a -4, I think the existing stat is we're lessening a chance of a retinal problem by 16 times, a factor of 16. So if your child is going from a, you know, -2 to a -3 at this year's eye exam, and they talk to you about doing ortho-K, and some people say, well, I'm a -4, we'll see, maybe we'll look at it next year. Well, now if they're a -4 next year, or they might jump to a -5 because these kids are in different risk categories than we were, now all of a sudden they might not be a candidate. And now you've let them get to a 32 times factor of a retina problem when they're 40 or 50 years old, you know? So those talking points don't always drive home. It's got to be the right patient and parents. But a lot of times in sports, side does. And so I kind of angled my pitch, if you will, of a lot of the clients that were seeking me. We're in a rural area in Kentucky. Most all the kids are playing some sort of sport. You know, they're playing football, softball, baseball, any of the, you know, kind of your traditional sports here. We don't have a lot of the lacrosse or hockeys or things like that. And so I said, wouldn't it be great if you could be a catcher and not have dust on your contacts, and not have to worry about goggles with your mask and everything else. We have lakes, you know, everybody loves the lakes around Kentucky. You know, wouldn't it be great to go to the lake and not have to worry about, you know, losing your glasses in the lake or all the germs that are gross in the water with your contacts, you know, going to the beach and things like that. So I really played on the lifestyle benefits. And then the myopia control part, you know, we can feel warm and fuzzy that we know we're doing that part too.
Right. I love the quality of life piece. And I think that really drives that this amazing technology home for patients, because we understand from our end the many benefits it can have. But for them, they're really thinking about their day-to-day life. And I think when you present it in that way of how it can really change your life versus wearing a pair of glasses or contacts all day long, that's really going to drive home that this may be the right technology for them.
I mean, and we remember it when we're kids. Like if you're talking about when they're 40, like you think everybody that's a teacher in your school is like 50 years old and 60 and ancient, you know, like their concept of time is not there. And so you're not going to sell them on the fact that we're doing something to help them when they're 40, because that's like a life light years away, you know? So they really love the lifestyle benefits. I've got a kid we saw yesterday. Actually, it was last week, but he started 2 years ago on OrthoK, and he was pretty hesitant, pretty scared. So he was 9 at the time. He's one of my son's buddies, and he's 11. It's just a routine now. It's just like piece of cake, easy. They do it every night. But it actually pushes his acuity. He's a big baseball and basketball player. His acuity is 20/10. You know, it's 2.5 lines beyond what most people are checking in the eye exam lane of 20/20. And so his hitting went way up, his fielding went way up, his confidence went way up. And so they just love it, you know, and those become our biggest advocates.
I love that story. And when someone's coming to you who's interested in orthokeratology, or you're bringing it up to a patient, what can they expect from the fitting process and then follow-up process? Like, how long does the fitting process take? How long does it take for you to get lenses that work well for them? And then how frequently do they have to come back and see you when they're doing ortho-K?
So every orthokeratologist does things kind of, you know, they have their own little program designed. The way I've done it for years, and we kind of perfected it years ago, is we offer free consultations. We looked at it just like a LASIK surgeon would. There's so much knowledge that we have to share that if there's a price, you know, that's a barrier for people coming and learning. It's important in my case to get these kids in there and educate the parents on the benefits, or get these adults in there and educate them on why this is a great alternative to LASIK and reversible and safer. So I just offer free consultations. We tell them it plan about an hour. We get their last records from their last eye exam, or other doctors will refer to us. And we review those records. I do a quick prescription check. We take topography maps, which if you think of topography maps from geography class, maybe if you had that back in the day, or if you look at any of these cool Google satellite images and topography maps, you know, are laying out the contours of the landscape. And so a topographer in optometry world is, you know, laying out the landscape or the front surface of the eye, you know. And so we take topography readings to show me, you know, what levels of astigmatism they have or corneal curvatures that fit into the parameters I'm looking for. And then we have a fitting kit. Paragon Vision Sciences has kind of led the way and been one of the lens I've used for years and years and has always supported me. And they've got this fitting set, and I always liken it to getting fitted for like a dress or a suit. You know, I said, we've got all these measurements, and one of the things we want to cover at the consult today is we want you to experience what a lens is like. And so yesterday we had this 9-year-old, we get measurements from this kit of about 120 lenses. I can choose a lens that's pretty close to the custom lens I'm going to design for him. We place it on one eye. So he was a minus 150 type of prescription in each eye. He sees about 4 lines worse than 20/20 in each eye. So 20/50 to 20/80, if you guys are familiar with those numbers. And we just put one on one eye, and we sat and we talked about it after the Invisalign conversation, everything else. And we let him close his eyes if it's uncomfortable. We let him keep his eyes open if he wants. And after about 20 minutes, you know, my exam room has a window. You can look outside. There's these nice trees. And I was like, you can actually see with the lens in, you know, so in the middle of the night, if you have to walk around, it's corrective in nature because it's compressing. I said, look outside and cover your left eye up. And he did that. And he had this like, wow, like his eyebrows jumped up. Like, he's like, I was like, you can see the leaves out there right now. He's like, yeah, I can't, because the kid refuses to wear glasses and he's too young to wear soft contacts. And we took the lens out after that 20 minutes, and his vision had already improved 20 or 2 lines on the chart in the eye that we had done the demo on. So that's just a massive buy-in factor to show him and show mom while they're there. This is where he's at now. We put this lens on for 20 minutes. We took it out and he's already 2 lines better. He's the type of prescription that if he slept in it for a night, most all of that prescription is going to change that first night. So I would expect him to be near 20/20 after day one. So recall wise, I usually, if they're real young, I like to see him a day later, but sometimes there's that kind of transition period. I kind of decide based on the parent and based on the nervousness factor, really and truly, I like to look at them in about 2 weeks because I know what the effects are going or how they're going, how they're transitioning into the procedure at nighttime of putting the lens in, taking it out in the morning and everything else. But if I've got kind of an anxious patient, I'll look at them the day after. After we get that 2 week check, I usually look at them about a month after that. If I need to make adjustments to the lens based on their quality of life factors. So if it's vision related, if it's comfort related, or if I see something on the topographer, you know, so the topography machine will actually show me how the treatment is going on the cornea and show me the kind of the centration of the lens and the treatment area on the cornea. I can make some adjustments in the early stages and maybe change the design of a lens on for one or both eyes. But if I don't have to do that, I see them on a 6 month recall, you know, so every 6 months they're coming in just so I can check, make sure we're meeting all their expectations visually and comfort wise, and just make sure that we're looking at the health of the eye and checking the lenses for any defects.
Wonderful. So it sounds like, right, for those listening, that it's a pretty easy and straightforward technology. It's not like, yes, if it's the right candidate with a doctor that knows what they're doing, the fit is typically pretty straightforward. For those listening, if they have, say, like a moderate prescription, say like a -3, -4, and they're getting in the lens mm-hmm. technology, how many days of wear is typical before they are completely clear after the overnight, right? Because that first night, yeah, they might not get to that clear 20/20. Yes. So how long does it take typically to achieve really clear vision for those patients that are more moderate?
Great question. You know, so I tell people to expect the most effect. And if I back up, one of the reasons I do the lens demo during the consultation is it gives me an idea of kind of their treatment rate, you know? So there's one factor in Ortho-K that we don't have a good way of measuring yet. And it's kind of the spongy factor. So how moldable their corneas are. Some people, their corneas mold and compress and change really rapidly. Some are a little slower to do that. So that's the one X factor I always explain to patients. I was like, I don't always know your rate. I know the kid yesterday is going to be a quick responder, you know, because he got two lines better in 20 minutes. My brother, he came down. He lives in Ohio. This is years ago. He came down for Thanksgiving break. He's like, I want to try this because he was a -4.5. And he's terrified of LASIK, but he was getting dryness from soft contacts and everything else. And I told him, like, okay, you're going to be blurry. I'm going to have to give you contacts to drive home with and everything else for a while because you're not going to get that clear vision for a while. He came in the day after and all 4.5 diopters of his correction was treated after one night. I've seen it one other patient. Like, it was just a luck and a little bit of divine intervention. So we get these different rates that I can't really predict. But in general, I tell people there's about a 1.5 diopter shift on night one. So if you're coming in at a -3 to start and you're, you know, night one, if I brought you in for your prescription check the next day, you're going to be about halfway there, you know, so you're going to have about half of your prescription treated. You're still going to be a little blurry. What I do in my practice is I dispense if they're already wearing soft contacts, I give them kind of soft contacts, daily disposables to wear during the daytime in the transition period. And so I'll say, hey, you're going to wear some -150 soft contacts today because the Ortho-K did part of it. And we're catching up the residual with the soft contact. And then at the same time, I dispense a little trial pack of -1s. And I say in a couple of days, drop down to the -1s because you're not going to need that -150 anymore. And then when you wake up and you don't feel like you need that -1, just don't wear it. Don't put it in. So in general, if they're -3 and they've got kind of average corneas, they're going to see without the contacts probably in 5 to 7 days. If they're a higher prescription, -4, it might be 10 to 14 days. And we just kind of adjust that supplementation with soft contacts.
Perfect. I love that fit and follow-up process. And what's the maintenance like? So once you have a patient and they're fully corrected, they can wear no lenses during the day and have the clear vision that they're looking for. What does the maintenance of Ortho-K look like?
So it's really pretty easy. And like you said, I think there's a fear factor because it's a hard contact. People hear hard contact and they get terrified and they're like, there's no way my kid could do this. But there's over-the-counter products, you know, I recommend either ClearCare or Boston Simplus contact lens solutions that have been, you know, they're one bottle, simple solutions. We deal with less care issues than we do with soft lenses. We deal with less corneal inflammation and infections with Ortho-K than we do with soft lenses. So it tends to be a safer and healthier option because these lenses are a little bit more protected and they're worn in a time of day that your eye is covered up. So, you know, patients are putting the, you know, they sit in the case and they're being disinfected and hydrated by the solution during the day. At nighttime, they're washing their hands or popping them in. They go to bed. They wake up in the morning, they dump their solution out or they dump their solution out at nighttime, put some new solution in there, take the lenses out, put them in there. They're good for the day, you know? So all the little allergens and pollens and bacteria and everything else their eyes are exposed to during the day get rinsed like a normal eye, as opposed to getting stuck to a soft lens and trapped against the eye all day. So I love it. And the maintenance wise, like I said, people get into a routine. It's just as easy or easier than soft lenses because they're not sitting there fiddling with their soft lens and touching it all day with their fingers and taking it out and putting drops on it and putting it back. That's where all these infections come from.
Right. So you presented this treatment technology wonderfully. For all of our listeners, where can they find you if they want, from a doctor perspective, to consult with you about how to get it into their practice, but also from a patient standpoint, if they want to work with you, where can they find you?
The easiest resource is just to go to my website. It's so the sports vision business that I started years ago, I tried to be creative and spell the word mind creatively because we're brain training, but we're using the vision and visual system to do it. So it's mind spelled M-E-Y-E-N-D, you know, so you got the E-Y-E of the eyeball tied in for mind. But if you go to www.mind.com, we've got three divisions that you'll see on there. The visual part, if you're coming in as a patient and you want to know more, we've got the solutions part if you're an eye doctor and want to learn more and get consulting on how to get started with this. And then we have the training part, which is our sports vision training, but they're all kind of in that mind.com website.
Beautiful. And I will link that for all of our listeners as well as all of your social media. But we appreciate you coming back on, Dr. Klosterman, and we hope to have you back on soon.
Thanks for listening. Follow us at Twin Forks Optometry on Facebook and Instagram. Join our private Facebook group, Vision is More Than 2020. Subscribe, download, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Tune in next week to learn more about your vision.